Blog Talk Radio. Good morning. You're listening to the Taz and Paula Show, and I'm Paula Nunes.
And I'm Taz Powers. Well, Paula, we are hot to trot this morning. Yes. We have a mover and shaker at our fingertips, and her name is Paula Koppel, and Vice President of Communications at Unity, and an editor and contributor for a new book, Sacred Secrets, Finding Your Way to Joy, Peace, and Prosperity. Recently, Paula brought a question to light over the last year regarding a recent book that became famous called The Secret. And she posed the question, if the process of manifestation is solely in our hands, where is God? Paula has been in senior management for more than 10 years, and most recently at Wagoner Edstrom Worldwide in Portland, Oregon, where she has worked wide and for a wide variety of organizations, from publicity-held companies and government entities to private agencies and nonprofit organizations. She has been involved in Unity since 1980 and is completing her requirements to become a licensed Unity teacher. At Unity, she is responsible for internal and external communications, including web development, public relations, creative services, and Unity's new internet radio network. That's certainly a lot to juggle, Paula.
Yes, it keeps me busy, but it's a labor of love.
Well, the book we'll be talking mainly about today is Sacred Secrets. Now, what prompted the creation of this book?
Well, it was really, as you alluded to in your introduction there, the whole phenomenon around The Secret. And as people throughout Unity were reading the book and seeing the DVD, it was apparent to us that a lot of what is discussed in The Secret really reflects basic beliefs in Unity. In fact, principles that we've been teaching for about 120 years now. So it was an interesting experience to see some of our basic teachings so beautifully repackaged, modified somewhat, obviously, and presented out in the world. And we got to thinking, well, the more we paid attention to it, that there seemed to be some missing elements that we felt were important. And so as the whole buzz built around The Secret and people were reading it and discussing it within the Unity movement, it became really quite a point of controversy. There were people who were saying, oh, this is exactly what we teach, and there were others saying, oh, my gosh, this just barely skims the surface. There's so much more to be said about this. So what we decided to do, it was actually our CEO here at Unity, Charlotte Shelton, and myself, and we thought, okay, well, let's just open this wide up to anyone in the Unity movement who wants to offer up whatever they think needs to be added to this discussion around the power of intention and the law of attraction, and any important points that have been left out. So we sent out a call for submissions to the entire movement, really, anyone who wanted to submit an essay, and picked the best of them and compiled this book with the idea, really, of a couple of things. One is going more deeply into what the law of attraction really is, also providing a spiritual aspect to that, which was somewhat, we felt, could be stronger in what was presented with The Secret. And the third was really to help those folks who were familiar with The Secret, got familiar with it, saw the movie or whatever, and then felt like, now what? And now I go back to my life. Now, how does this work again? So the book is filled with a lot of practical experience that people within the Unity movement have had in working these principles in their lives every day.
I know when I saw the movie, The Secret, that's the first thing I thought. I thought, this is just skimming the surface. And I thought it was getting a lot of hype, nothing really meaty to it.
Well, we're grateful for it in the sense that it was a door opening. There are a lot of people out there who really had never heard very much about this idea of the law of attraction, or as we say in Unity, that the thoughts held in our mind produce after their kind, that we create our own reality here on Earth. We believe it's co-created with God. But there are a lot of folks that they had never really thought about the power of their own mind and their own intention. So we feel like The Secret opened the door, got the conversation going, and for those who really have an interest in it and want to work with the principles and go more deeply, well, now the way is paved for that to happen.
And we can thank Larry King.
Larry King, Oprah. Yeah, there were some big names, certainly Michael Beckwith and all the great work that he's done. But they definitely got the conversation going in a very big way, and we've been excited to see that interest, not only the interest in The Secret, but going beyond The Secret. I think there's a very high level of interest right now in developing spiritually and people looking for greater meaning and purpose in their lives and to finding ways that they can enjoy life more.
Now, you talked about Michael Beckwith. He contributed to the book, didn't he?
Yes, he has the final essay in the book. Michael is, of course, the head of Agape, which is a New Thought ministry and a sister organization to Unity. So we are very honored and blessed to have him as a good friend to the Unity movement.
That was perfect. And did he contribute to the movie?
He was in The Secret, yes, and he was featured on Oprah, I think it was twice. And I'm not remembering if he was on Larry King Live or not, but he became one of the most prominent figures out there in popular media when The Secret was being covered and discussed. And he's very eloquent and just has a beautiful spiritual presence. And even Michael, when we talked to him about it, he came to Unity Village, where I'm located here in Kansas City, Missouri, and he came and gave a talk last year and fully recognized that The Secret was a start, but it certainly doesn't even come close to telling the whole story. But again, it's a door opening.
What additional topics covered in Sacred Secrets that weren't covered in The Secret? I mean, probably you could go on a whole hour on that.
Well, probably. I think the main thing is just to put things in a little more complete perspective. At least the feeling a lot of us had with The Secret, and I'm really not meaning in any way to be critical of it. I'm just talking about where there was room for expansion. But there was a sense that it seemed a little more superficial or perhaps materialistic in terms of what people were focusing their intention on. So in other words, the images that most come back to mind about The Secret are people looking in the shop window. I think there's a woman looking at jewelry and really focusing on the jewelry, wanting the jewelry, and the next thing you know, it's around her neck, and people focusing on money and all that, and which is not to say that we can't produce results in our lives by setting our attention and getting very focused on some material outcomes. But I think if we look at what really will deeply satisfy us in life, we're fooling ourselves if we think that it's the outward things that are going to do it for us. And so what we talk about, and I think the dimension that we add in this book, is that there's a deeper process involved where rather than just going through sort of a rote repetition or looking just at a vision board every day of the material things that one wants, that where you really can get the biggest, most lasting and powerful results in your life are if you first attune to spirit, or we might say the small voice within. It involves becoming still and quiet and just learning to be at peace in your own mind and being open to where spirit leads you. And if you cultivate a practice, a spiritual practice along those lines, where you are really sort of building your sense of oneness with the universe or with God or whatever, and then paying attention to how you're guided, and then focusing your intention and everything, you know, your own capabilities and really calling on the potentiality that's out there in the universe to make that happen in your life, well, then at least you've got some wisdom in how you're being guided. And that way you are focused from the very beginning on what is meaningful to me, what is my purpose here in life. And that's not to say that people don't want and need and deserve to have prosperity in their lives in terms of material things. It's just that if we only focus on the material things, we still end up feeling, I think, coming up short in the long run.
Well, I think there's a journey here. There's a path on unfolding before us, leading us in directions to be able to assist the planet or whatever aspect we're looking at. So there is a spiritual aspect that we need to be conscious of, bringing it to our to our soul.
Absolutely. I mean, we feel that, as we put it, we're co-creators with God, and that through our connection with God, we become more aware of who we are, what our purpose is, and then we begin to create our reality through the thoughts that we hold in our own minds. You know, it gets back to kind of energy fields, if you will, and what we're holding in mind, the vibration at which we're operating within our own bodies and our own existence tends to vibrate out into the universe. And so along those lines, what we would say and what's reflected in these essays is, whatever you want more of in your life, put more of that out there. If you want to be receiving more love in your life, be more loving. It's like, be the change you want to see in the world, but also give first in order to receive. And that is a little different from what was presented in The Secret, I think, because they didn't really talk too much about the giving aspect. It was more about, if you want this in your life, here are some neat things that you can do to get them in your life. And again, not that those principles don't necessarily work, but for there to be true harmony and this kind of nice symmetry in life, the underlying principle is, as we give, so we receive. So those are some of the things talked about. What I really love about this book is that there's something in it for everybody. And while our conversation right here, we're definitely jumping right into the kind of the deeper spiritual principles, there's also some very practical articles in the book around, say, you know, divorce, weight loss, grief, health concerns, prosperity, just all the different things we face in our daily lives. And the essays are written by people who've gone through these experiences and directly applied these principles in trying to overcome them and produce positive results. So it's very accessible, pretty easy to read, and lots of little nuggets of spiritual wisdom buried in each of the essays, or at least I feel, because I'm a little biased.
Paula, was there any particular story that comes to mind that you saw people grow with what took place?
Well, you know, it's always easiest to tell our own stories. And, you know, I've definitely had, I think, an outworking of intention in my own life, if you would like me to share that.
Sure.
2 years ago, I was living in Portland, Oregon, and you mentioned that I had worked out there. I lived there for 27 years, absolutely loved it. And I had a sort of series of events happen where I lost my job there, it was eliminated, and my kids were growing up and getting ready to leave the nest, and I really had this sense of almost like a crisis happening in my life, like, wait, who am I now? You know, my kids are leaving, and I don't have this job, and what's my path? And first reaction when something like that happens is sort of shock, fear, angst, all of that kind of a thing. But then it was as if, I think through the process of just giving it time and trying to stay open to what the answers were, I got a very clear direction, I would say a divine idea, that it was time to move to Kansas City, and that Unity has been a huge part of my life since 1980, and I belonged here with the intention eventually of going to ministerial school. And it came to me as such, I'm sure that you've had this experience too, I think most people have, where they get an idea, and it's almost like it's not their idea, you know? It's like it came from somewhere else. And when you get the message, there's so much power to it that there's no resisting it. It's like, of course, this is what's meant to be. Yes, this is what I must do now. And it's wonderful when it happens because you don't keep trying to talk yourself out of it. And it just feels like the voice of God has somehow spoken within you. Well, anyway, so that directive is really what carried me, and I began to move very swiftly to reorganize my life. I sold my house or put my house up for sale. I began planning my move to Kansas City. I had no job, 2 kids in college at that point, 2 mortgages to pay, moved out here to Kansas City, really on a wing and a prayer and a lot of faith, but still feeling like, no, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and some kind of bedrock belief that it was all going to work out. When I got out here, I found a couple of jobs to do for a while just to bring in a little bit of income, but I kept feeling like, well, I know there's something bigger for me. And one morning, I woke up and again had this same kind of I was going through this thought process, but have this kind of openness, and the idea came to me, well, I want to help Charlotte Shelton uplift and transform the Unity Movement. And I thought, that's what I'm here to do. And so I ended up ultimately contacting her. I'd never met her before. I wrote my ideal job description. I was led to do that, presented it to her over lunch. She said, well, we really don't have any openings now, and I don't really need this, but we have a nice connection. And I just felt the sense of rightness. And a month later, things changed, and I had a meeting with her, was doing a little freelance work for her, and she told me about a job opening and then looked right at me and said, it's your job description.
You were stepping right in line.
Wow. So how did you get involved with the Unity Church? You said you were involved with it since 1980. What attracted you to it? Is she there? Oops.
I don't hear her. Paula, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I'll speak up. I have kind of a soft voice. So I was saying that, like a lot of us, I think, who would classify ourselves as cultural creatives or whatever, I've been on a spiritual path pretty much my whole life and took world religions in high school, got very interested in all of them, Eastern and Western, but was looking for some kind of movement where it wasn't going to be dogmatic, but I could still honor, at least to some degree, my Christian roots, but at the same time be honoring and open to all spiritual paths. And so I've been reading a bunch of books about the power of the mind and how we create our own reality and what we can do to channel the God power that's available to us. And I looked in the back of one of the books, and it was by Unity House. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And then one day I was looking in the newspaper in Portland at ads for different churches, because I was hopping around from one to the other and going to Buddhist, all sorts of different services. And I saw a little talk in there about something related to creating your own reality. And it was an ad for Unity Church. And I had never heard of Unity Churches before, but I thought, well, this is interesting. I wonder if it's related to Unity House. So I went in, and like so many people in the Unity Movement, when I walked in that place, I thought, I never knew that there was a church or an organization like this, and I had the most beautiful sense of coming home, like this is where I have belonged. I didn't know there were other people that thought and felt this way. I feel a great sense of love here. I feel a great sense of openness and acceptance, and nobody's pushing anything on me. It just worked. So it took from the get-go and has been really, I guess, kind of my bedrock path ever since, although I have a great fondness for Buddhism and Eastern religions as well. But Unity allows you to be interested and involved in all of those at the same time.
So you said that Unity has been around for 120 years?
Yes.
And from the 19th century on?
Yeah, it was in 1889 when it first got started. It has really a cool history, especially in the context of what we're talking about today, is it was a man and a woman who started the movement, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, and the way that it all began, it really was with Myrtle, who was quite the mystical presence herself, and she'd been diagnosed at an early age with tuberculosis and was given a diagnosis that she didn't, get your affairs in order. I think it was when she was in her 40s, I believe, that her life was going to be over soon. And she went to a lecture by someone named E.B. Weeks, where he was talking about the power of the mind and to really affect healing in our bodies. And she picked up a thought from that talk that changed her entire life, and it was, I'm a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit sickness. And for whatever reason, that just lodged in her mind, and she landed on it and really embraced that with everything in her, realizing that she had the perfection of God within her and she just needed to be bringing that out in a fuller way. So she started on her own this practice of literally talking to the cells in her body every day and sending them love and healing energy, affirming their wholeness, affirming their perfection. And she essentially cured herself and lived to be 86 years old. Well, she was so excited that she had discovered this technique. She was just like a little kid, I've discovered something amazing here. And shared it with her husband, Charles, and others, and they began just sort of spreading the word about this discovery and how they were using what we call in Unity affirmative prayer to achieve the results that they were wanting around healing as well as other, other desires too. But it really started as a healing ministry. Well, pretty soon they had people, as you can imagine, lined up wanting to learn more about this technique. And so they started having discussion groups and offering a prayer support to people and just kind of ministering to them one-on-one. And it just really took off from there. It was at the same time as Christian Science was coming along and other new thought beliefs. And frankly, they were good friends with Norman Vincent Peale and a bunch of other people who were writing about the power of the mind. So it was just kind of the era then, which must have been a pretty neat time to be alive. And it grew and grew, and we still continue what they were doing then here today at Unity Village. We have Silent Unity, which is a huge prayer ministry. It goes 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We get about 2 million prayer requests from all over the world a year. And we continue to do what Charles and Myrtle did in terms of affirming the innate wholeness and perfection and complete health within every individual and help them apply those principles to their own situations. So that's really how it started. It was never meant to be a church. One of the things I really love about its roots is that when the Fillmores started their discussion groups, just having people come and talk about principles of spirituality and the truth, they had the groups meet in the afternoon so that everyone could go to whatever type of spiritual service they wanted in the morning, you know, go to their main place of worship, and then just come together in the afternoon to talk about the common truths that underlie all of the different faith traditions. So it was really to focus on those fundamental truths about oneness and God as an ever-present spirit within and all around us, and to share those thoughts and those insights. So it wasn't meant to ever be a denomination, or there's no dogma in Unity. They didn't want that. And the churches really just started springing up because people got so excited about what was being said at these discussion groups. They thought, well, we need more centers. We need more places where this goes on. And that's kind of how that got started.
Now, did you ever take the minister training?
I haven't yet, but it's in my plans. At the right and perfect time. Right now, for whatever reason, I've been called to help the world find out about Unity, and it's a great honor and blessing to have that role. It's very, very exciting. And I forgot to mention, when I was talking about the Fillmores, that after Myrtle cured herself of tuberculosis, her husband Charles, who had a withered leg from a childhood accident, began working, applying affirmative prayer and the power of intention to his situation, and actually grew his leg by a couple of inches. No longer had to use a cane to walk. Always had a slight limp, but he affected amazing healings in his own body as well.
Wow.
Pretty cool stuff. Way back then.
It gives me chills.
Pardon me?
It gives me chills.
Yeah. It really does. There's real merit to this. This isn't woo-woo stuff. This is it's interesting. So many things that the Fillmores were teaching originally are now being proven out in science. If you look at quantum physics and what we are learning about energy and the energy that is present everywhere, and the fact that energy never dies, never goes away completely, the quantum field and what's around us can be thought of as God energy. And the Fillmores were very attuned to that. So it's just more and more ways that it's being presented and proven now.
Now, some beliefs say you believe as if it's already happened, whatever you are working with.
Exactly.
So does that create an energy around you?
Yes, it does. That's very well put. I think that's exactly right. A lot of people, when they think about prayer, the more traditional view of prayer is to go to God as an outer being and ask for something. It's a kind of beseeching and saying, God, please do this for me, please do that for me, etc. Well, we don't pray that way in Unity, and we don't pray that way with the people who call Silent Unity for support. Instead, we affirm that it is already so, and that whatever it is that you're looking for, that it already exists in the energy field out there, and now it will manifest through the power of our intention. And so when someone calls for healing, for example, we won't say, you know, God, please make your mother well or something like that. It'll be more, now we call to mind your mother, and we know that she is a divine child of God, and that from the moment of her birth, her body's had the innate capacity to heal, and we see every particle of her being brought to full wholeness and health. And we just see it, you know, we just see it happening. And when people hear that, it gives them a great sense of strength. It really helps them tap into a power greater than themselves. So this very exciting stuff.
When the normal prayer is you're asking God for something, so that's almost confirming that you don't have it.
Yes, exactly. It's giving away your power. I mean, it's almost what we sometimes call a Santa Claus God, if you'll pardon the expression, but it's, I've been a good girl. God, now please, you know, bring me a pony or make things better in my life. And that's why Unity isn't for everybody, because Unity really implies that you take responsibility for your own life. You actively do your part to co-create with the energy field that exists out there that, you know, we think of as spirit or divine order or God, whatever you want to call it, that, you know, that you do your part in terms of growing into the magnificent being that you're meant to be.
Paula, I think that people forget they have that capability, because after they have the diagnosis from a physician and or being able to physically see what's going on with them, I think their mind, you know, leans into the direction of what the diagnosis is, and they forget that they do have another option.
Yeah, we really, you know, and that's only human and only natural to go to a place of fear. So it does require spiritual practice and that kind of disciplined effort to turn your mind in a different direction and to really know the truth of your ability to heal, to really know it and to visualize it and to keep your focus there.
I think the ancient religions believed that all along, and somehow it got taken away.
Yes, I believe that so. I mean, it's even if you go back to Jesus, you know, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has healed you. I mean, it's the same kind of idea. And I'm also reminded, you know, you're talking about how people go to this place of fear, or we get focused on lack, and even back to the earlier point of how we tend to want some outer being to make everything right in our lives. And I so often think of that beautiful quote from Marianne Williamson, that, you know, it's not our darkness that frightens us most, it's our light. I mean, this idea that we're powerful beyond measure, where on the one hand, my gosh, what an astounding thought that we can help create our own reality, that we have this amazing power we can tap into. And on the other hand, how terrifying. you know, there must be that element to realize that we have this immense power, that we are indeed powerful beyond measure. And I don't say that in any egotistical way. It's just that, because it's not about ego, but it's about what we're here to express. It's being channeled for spirit to express.
I remember seeing Marianne Williamson on Larry King's show.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever, I forget who the other person was, put her philosophy down. And she was so eloquent in stating exactly what you're talking about.
Yes. There's a passage, it's very widely quoted of hers, the one that I was referring to, and Nelson Mandela quoted it, I think, as he was freed from jail. It was in one of his speeches, and a lot of people think he originates it, but it actually came from something that she wrote based on A Course in Miracles. But yeah, what we're most afraid of is our light. We say, who am I to think I'm wonderful, gorgeous, perfect, etc.? And she says, who are you to not think that? You know, you were born to make manifest the glory of God, and that is what is yours. That is yours, and claim it and let it be. Let your light shine. Don't be afraid of that. So it's very empowering, but not everybody's ready to be that empowered. This is a different way of looking at things.
Well, I want to go back to one of the comments that you said earlier about you get what you put out.
Yes.
And I can do... If you are angry, you're going to attract people that are angry. I mean,
yeah.
I've seen it in my own life.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're very happy and just the day is wonderful and you go to the grocery store, people smile and it's like you're attracting light or you're attracting exactly what you're putting out.
Yes. Yes, and you notice your perception is affected by what's going on inside you. I mean, I'm sure you've had examples where, you know, two people go to the same event and one has a fabulous time and thinks everybody was so friendly and great and the other one thinks, you know, everybody there had a bad attitude or something. It's really what's going on inside of you and what you're choosing to notice there. It's a reflection of what's going on in your own mind, in your own attitude. I had, you were asking for stories, and I had an experience of that I was telling you about after I moved here and I didn't have a job. I had this huge amount of debt and things that I was, you know, paying for tuition and so forth. And I was going along fine before I got a job, for the most part, kind of just riding it out, knowing that things were going to come together and doing my work to control my finances. And then I had one day where I fell into complete fear. I thought, I am going to run out of money. I'm going to run out of money for the first time in my life. I'm going to lose it all. My house in Portland hadn't sold. I had a mortgage here, two tuitions, no job. My savings was going so fast, and I got to this point where I was just kind of immobilized. I was so fearful. And thank goodness, not too far into that process, I suddenly had the thought, Paula, you're the exact same person you were yesterday, and just by what you're thinking about now, you are creating your own hell. I thought, I am completely creating my own hell with the thoughts that I'm thinking. Yesterday I was fine. My situation wasn't any different yesterday than it is today. And that was one of the first times I can remember consciously trying to change what I was thinking. And saying, saying to my mind, no, I will not think those thoughts. I'm not going there. No, I don't. No, sorry, not going to think that way. And that's really where the rubber hits the road. I mean, that's really where you're challenged. That's where the challenge comes in applying the principles. And then, you know, it's other things like call a friend, get out and exercise, do something to break the kind of obsessive thought that can bring us down. But it's also realizing how much we create our own reality by what we're thinking.
Yeah, and the people around us, too, sometimes they have different ways of thinking. So if you can just stay on your path and on your momentum, you know,
yeah.
And be able to recognize what's happening. That's, you know, going, wow, I didn't think about, I wasn't thinking like this an hour ago. What's going on?
Yes, I do. I really do believe that, you know, we're here to let our light shine. And as we let our light shine, that does a service to humanity. And it actually empowers more people and encourages more people to let their light shine. So even though sometimes our light might feel like a little tiny candle, you know, a little tiny match flame, and we just have to stay focused on that. Stay focused on that, and it grows. That's what's real. You know, what are we here for? What are we here to do? And if we can stay focused on that, the other things become like background noise, and we just stay on our path. And I really do believe that attracts not only more good into our lives, but it does more good in the lives of people around us.
Well, I know, I forget where I heard this, but if you have a grateful list, you know, like every evening or you have a certain time of day that you write down everything that you're grateful for, that actually attracts more of that.
Yes, I think that's right. You were saying previously that if we focus on lack, we get more lack. If we focus on abundance, we get more abundance. If we focus on what we're grateful for, we tend to attract more of those things into our lives. In fact, just at lunch today, I was talking to a friend about this practice of gratitude, and I went to a heart math seminar here at the Village last week, and he was instructing us about how to sort of break the negative thought cycle, or if, you know, you're not in a good centered space spiritually, and the most effective way to do that is to really bring to mind something or someone that you have a deep appreciation for. And so the practice of heart math is going into that space regularly, you know, just learning again to call that to mind. And when you go into that heart space and you really feel, and he said breathe through your heart, have that sensation of breathing through your heart, completely changes the vibration going on within you. It puts you in a completely different space. And then if you come back to whatever your situation is, you're coming from a different angle. But it really is about gratitude. Gratitude is, I mean, you think of the times that you felt the very happiest and the best in life, and I can bet you were feeling grateful at the time.
The heart math people are right down the road from us.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a wonderful philosophy. It really is a wonderful practice. I'm just starting to learn more about it. In fact, all of our Silent Unity prayer associates, I was telling you about Silent Unity and the prayer ministry here, they all went through the training because as they get the calls every day from people wanting prayer support, it can tend to get hard on them, you know, just doing that one caller after another. And so this was just a way for them to get recentered as needed by going into their own feelings of gratitude and appreciation.
Wow. How many people are in the village doing the prayer?
Well, we're at Unity headquarters, and there are 550 employees here. So it's the headquarters for the Unity movement, and we have about 200 or so of the people involved in the prayer ministry, I'm pretty sure that's right. And then we also have publishing operations here. We publish the Daily Word as well as Unity Magazine, and we do retreats here. Mostly in the spring and summer and into the early fall. And then we also have continuing education classes here. And we have the ministry or the seminary where those who are going to ministerial school to become Unity ministers, they come here. And I wish you could come and visit me. You should absolutely do it because Unity Village is truly like heaven on earth. It's 1,400 acres of just the most gorgeous land, wildlife preserve, walking trails, lakes. And we have our campus, as we call it, looks a little bit, somebody told me it looks a little like it was either Berkeley or Stanford, one of those. But beautiful architecture, lovely sense of history, and everything's just kind of immaculately landscaped. So we're very blessed. The Fillmores were visionaries, and they brought to life all this magnificence around us. So we have an important tradition to carry on.
You said that you wrote your own job. What exactly do you do there?
Well, when I wrote the job description, and it actually is what has come to pass, it was really about how do we get, most people in Unity love the movement and feel like it's one of the world's best kept secrets, and it's not a secret we want to keep. So how do we get the word out to the world about this movement and this set of spiritual practices? We feel like our time is now, and so the biggest thing that drew me to want to do this work is to feel like Unity is one of the most important things in my life. I know that it can change lives, and I know that it can be a spiritual practice where all people of all faiths respect one another and can help unify us. So how can I help get the word out? So the job I have here is we do have an internet radio network now. It's at www.unity.fm, and it's filled with programming around spiritual topics. Unity ministers do the programs. So we have everything from spirituality in the workplace that our CEO does to spiritual parenting, relationships, and we do metaphysical interpretation of the Bible. It's only a year old, that network, and it's just doing fabulously. We did a video with Eckhart Tolle recently. We have a 6-part webcast with Deepak Chopra coming up in the fall. So those are some of the things that have kept me busy. And then we have kind of our usual newsletters that go out here. We've redone our website. We're working with the Association of Unity Churches to do more collaborative work on the web. So just all manner of ways to get the word out to our constituents is really what it's about. And our attract more constituents too.
It sounds like your passion is taking you where you need to go.
It's a great feeling. I am passionate. It's so heavenly to have a whole hour to tell you about it. But
when this book started to take effect, when we're talking about sacred secrets, whose idea exactly was it to put all this into one book? I mean, because it's different reverends wrote different chapters, right?
Yes. Well, it was really going back to that conversation that Charlotte Shelton and I had. We were walking back from a prayer service one day talking about The Secret and thinking, well, what could we do? And we thought, well, we'll do one of our, because we put out little blessing booklets once every couple of months here. Well, let's just do a little booklet on it. And we'll just send out and see who might like to write a submission. Well, the next thing you know, we're getting such great writings and such really helpful and beautifully diverse articles, even though they have the same basic principles, but, you know, people sharing their own stories, that we had enough to make a book and thought, well, what the heck, let's make it a book. So we did.
Well,
a little entrepreneurialism there.
It came together pretty easily.
Yes, it did, and it's been fun because to have all those ministers, and it wasn't just ministers who wrote articles, and we have people who work on the telephone prayer lines here, and we have ministerial students who wrote in, and people who are just members of the congregations out there. But they're excited because they love unity, and they want to see more people know about what we have to offer. And that's, again, that's not to build us up. It's because we feel like we have some gifts to give. That's really what it's all about. So there's been quite a lot of excitement about getting the book out and wanting more folks to read it. And I actually find that I reread it from time to time, even though I edited the whole thing, because it never hurts to read it over again and take some of the advice that you helped put out there.
Well, it's a team effort. You know, in life we do need a team, whether it's our own personal family to assist us or an extended family or in any aspect. Sometimes we just need to call up and say, hey, you know what, I need to, you know, juggle some thoughts here to going back and forth in whatever circumstance you might be dealing with.
Yes, it helps to have like-minded individuals around, and I know that the trend, especially in the U.S., is away from organized religion and more towards people kind of piecing together their own spiritual path, and I'm all for that. I mean, I've done a lot of that myself, but I also know that there is a great joy in sharing your spiritual journey and having others that can be partners with you on your path.
Have you thought about putting a movie together of this?
Oh, we think about everything here. I don't know if we'd do a movie on Sacred Secrets or not, but I can guarantee you there's a film in our future because there's so many of these transformational films being made now, of course The Secret being one of them. And, you know, we have things we would like to share too. So we're getting there. We're looking at doing TV shows eventually, and this webcast with Deepak that we're going to do in the fall is a very big deal. So, yes, it's a matter of how do we use each of the different media to get our messages out there. I don't know exactly what we'd land on for. I mean, it's tempting to just tell the Unity story because, as I was sharing with you, the story of the film wars and what was going on at that time in history and their own discoveries and how this movement came to be is just great, great stuff, and not too many people know about it. So it'd be fun to put that out there just on its own. But, yeah, so many transformational films coming out now, it just gives you a sense that there are a lot of spiritual seekers out there and a lot of people who are even brought up in a Christian tradition that we refer to as Christians with questions, you know, people who still feel kind of a primary sense of grounding in Christianity but don't necessarily buy into fundamentalist Christianity and some of the way all that's been cast and what that's evolved into. So they still have an affinity for what Jesus taught, the basic teachings, but don't necessarily go, you know, all the way into the dogmatic beliefs about Jesus himself.
Now, in your job description or what you are doing, are you able to actually go and visit some of the other Unity centers or the other churches?
Yes. I was really active in my church in Portland, Oregon for the time that I was there, and I do visit the churches fairly regularly. My partner is a musician and also a licensed Unity teacher, and he goes to the churches pretty frequently to do concerts and to give talks and so forth, and so when I'm lucky, I get to go along with him and visit and see what's going on out there. When we did we just taped this webcast with Deepak Chopra a couple of weeks ago, and we did that at the San Diego Unity Center. So that was really a joy to team up with the church there to bring Deepak in and have a conversation about basically about who Jesus really was and what he really taught. And it was just a fabulous, fabulous series, and it was done completely with the church partnering with us. So yeah, it's fun. It's fun to be here and do the huge, exciting things we're doing at the Village, and know that all these churches are out there touching lives every day as well.
Now, is Deepak going to write a book about what he spoke in the webcast?
The webcast that we are going to start, and it starts on October 15th, by the way, through Unity FM that I was talking about. It's based on the book that he's already written called The Third Jesus, and the subtitle is The Christ We Cannot Ignore. And the whole premise of that book is that the first Jesus was Jesus the human being, second Jesus being Jesus as he's been presented through sort of traditional fundamental Christianity. You know, all of it has been built up around that. And the third Jesus is really Christ consciousness. And it is what was Jesus pointing to rather than us focusing on, it's like, you know, don't look at the person or the finger pointing to the moon, look at the moon. Rather than focusing on Jesus, what was he directing us to and what was he telling us is possible in our own lives? And we refer to that connection that he experienced as something we can as well. We call it God consciousness or Christ consciousness or unity consciousness. And that's really what the webcast goes into much more deeply. And it turned out fabulously. We're very excited about it.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
That's wonderful to hear that somebody that's already written a book on what the church's philosophy is around, and then you can be able to do a webcast. I mean, that's just a small miracle in itself.
Well, it was another one of those God ideas. It was just an idea that arrived, and when something takes off that quickly, it's like the universe conspires to make it so. And so
Did you contact him yourself?
Yes. But I had some help, some people who knew him, and I had the idea. I'm sure you're familiar with what Oprah Winfrey did with Eckhart Tolle, the web series they did, and how magnificent that was in the spring. And so I was a big devotee about that. I was racing home to go see that week's webcast every week and was watching it one week. And I thought, well, now, if Oprah can interview Eckhart Tolle about a new Earth, why couldn't Unity interview Deepak Chopra about the third Jesus? And why can't we go that next step that I felt like was somewhat implied in part of what Oprah and Eckhart were talking about, to really take another look at what the teachings of Jesus are and how we can apply them in our lives. And Deepak's book reads so much like a Unity book. It parallels so closely what we believe and teach and so forth that it just seemed like a great partnership. So I sent an email off to a friend of mine who happens to work for Deepak, and I said, well, I just had this idea. What do you think of this? And he wrote me back in like 2 seconds, and he said, oh, my gosh, this is a great idea. I sent it right on to Deepak. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you did that. I haven't even talked to anybody here yet. And through a turn of events, I was able to meet with him in Costa Rica in February at his Alliance for a New Humanity conference. And we had a conversation about it then, and he said, let's do it. So it just kind of took off from there.
Mm.
It's fun. It's fun when those things happen, if they don't completely wear you out, but it's fun.
Well, it sounds like you have a lot of purposeful, fun things ahead of you also.
Yes, it's a good time for Unity, and I think it's a good time for the world. It really
feels
to me like things are coming together in a good way.
Yeah, it opens up new study groups and everything for people to be able to converse and
yeah, so
it gets their juices flowing in the direction to stimulate them for their passion.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I just feel like all of us are wanting to live more sane, balanced, centered, and fulfilling lives. And so it's just so exciting now to have conversations going like what Oprah and Eckhart did, with just the sort of the general shift in consciousness that's occurring in the world right now. And I think that's a very real thing. I think we're seeing people open up and come together in new and exciting ways and do a little more thoughtful analysis of how they're living and where their priorities are and what it really means to live a successful and satisfying life. So it's a good time in history. I think it's momentous. I really do.
It's so we're pushed to, or let's put it this way, we're in a time that we could go to fear, and so it's a time for us to learn to get out of that.
Yes, and even just waking up to that awareness that we've been living in fear, and how does that feel, and what's that doing to us, and how's that affecting our way of relating to others, and realize that, you know, as they say, I mean, there's either love or fear, and if you're living in fear, the way to get out of that is to move yourself towards love and to find ways to open up. And I do believe that there's enough unhappiness in the world right now. That's not, you know, you'd rather be being attracted to the positive, but sometimes being in the negative and being miserable will force people to consider new things. So I think the search is on.
And, are the Unity churches all over the world?
Yes. We do have Unity churches all over the world, primarily in the U.S. and Canada, and then we have them down in, I'm trying to remember, well, certainly in Mexico as well as Costa Rica, Puerto Rico. We've got a lot of church presence down there, Trinidad, Jamaica, et cetera. And then we have some in Europe. There are Silent Unities, smaller scale, but Silent Unities operating in other places around the world. And we publish our Daily Word magazine that is distributed worldwide, and I think it's in 8 different languages now. So we've got a global reach, and the more we develop our Unity Internet Radio as well as our websites, the more we feel like we can truly reach a global audience.
Well, I'm certain your webcast with Deepak is going to help move that on.
Well, I certainly hope so. I'd love to have the chance to talk about it with you because it really just happened, and, you know, we were excited to do it because we thought it was a good time to have this conversation. And I got to tell you, it was even better than we ever dreamed. I mean, people, even Deepak was excited. He came out and he said, this is huge. This is huge. We've got to get millions of people seeing this. This is great. And he was likening it to the interviews that Bill Moyers did several years ago with Joseph Campbell, if you remember that on PBS.
Yes,
it's really kind of delving deep, and it's a good level of sophistication, but at the same time as being very understandable and useful in terms of the content. So we will see. We're going to do the webcast October 15th through November 19th, and we'll have a DVD produced that'll be for sale and CD and so forth. And then Deepak is coming to Unity Village on November 17th, and he has another book coming out called Jesus, A Story of Enlightenment. So he has another book about Jesus coming out, and we just feel really pleased to be teaming with him. But, you know, that's just one of the cool things going on. We're getting very much into spiritual parenting now. We know there are a lot of young parents and even older parents who are wanting to give their children some sense of spiritual grounding. So we've started a new spiritual parenting website. It's at unityfamilymatters.org, and that's for parents to share ideas and get resources, et cetera, for helping their children have a sense of their own innate goodness and connection with spirit from the get-go, and also get real practical advice, you know, how do you deal with this problem, that problem, et cetera. So that's a new offering from us as well. We're really excited about that. And spirituality in the workplace is another hot topic for Unity, and we have a seminar we're going to be doing with Brian Tracy in September in San Diego on an experimental basis. That's kind of a pilot. And if that goes well, we'll expand that out more because we know in the workplace there's also a great longing for meaning. It's not where you bring in religion by any stretch, but there are ways you can have conversations about what's important and create an environment where people feel a connection with each other and with something higher. So we're all over it.
Well, we have your book, Secrets, on
yes.
our website, so people can go in there and click on there and actually get it through our website.
Oh, fabulous. Thank
yeah.
you.
And
it's a good book, and it's an easy read, and I just guarantee you that you'll get some nuggets out of it that'll help you in your life.
Well, my goodness, this is it's a wonderful way to have your hand held as you walk into areas that might be fearful or frightening for you. And to give you a new outlook, just, you know, bringing all kinds of extra energy to one to be able to, you know, walk the area that they would like to walk instead of in fear.
Yes. That's a lovely way of saying it, to give you a hand to hold as you walk through.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really well put. And there are other people going through it too, so.
Yeah,
Paula, do you have any last word for our listeners?
Only that I'm just so honored that you gave me the time to talk about this, and clearly it's a passion for me, and I do feel that Unity has something not only in this book but just generally to offer up, and I hope people will check us out. You know, get the book and find out more about Unity, see if it's for you, and if it's not, so be it, and if it is, fabulous. Hopefully we'll meet someday.
It's been really uplifting to have you with us this morning. Thank you for taking
your
time out.
Thank you very much. It's been a joy talking to you.
And thank you for being with us. And we may even ask you to write an article for our website. So I'll be in touch with you concerning that. So thank you.
I would love to.
Oh,
great. Thank you,
yeah,
Paula.
Yeah. All right. Thank you both so much. Many blessings.
Bye-bye. That was so wonderful.
Yes. And remember, go on to our website, TazandPaulaShow.com. And we have a lot of new things popping up on our website.
We do. You, everyone, all our listeners, have a wonderful week, and we look forward to being back with you. I'm Taz Powers.
And I'm Paula Nunes. Have a great day.
And this is 91.